This is Chanel Bunger with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast, and today I'm delighted to speak with Dr. Peter DeLuca, an orthopedic surgeon at RWJ Barnabas Health and the current team physician for the Gotham Football Club and the New Jersey Devils, who joins the podcast today to share insights into his background, orthopedics in baseball and football, injury prevention, and a lot more. Dr. DeLuca, thank you so much for joining me today. Can you take a moment to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your background and organization before you get started?
Sure. Thank you for having me. My name is Peter DeLuca. I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and currently I serve as chief of sports medicine at Cooperman Barnabas Hospital, part of RWJ, or Robert Wood Johnson Hospital Systems. I've had extensive experience in sports medicine. I've been doing this now for over 25 years. In the past, I've served as the head team physician for the Philadelphia Eagles for 21 years, and the Philadelphia Flyers for 24 years while I was in practice in the Philadelphia area. In about 2021, I moved out of Philadelphia and came up to northern New Jersey, where I grew up. So it's home for me. And now I take care of the New Jersey Devils and the women's professional soccer team, Gotham Football Club, or FC. I've treated the numerous professional athletes, college athletes, high school athletes. It's something that I have a passion for and love doing. It's just exciting to see people come back from injuries and perform to the same level as they did prior to being injured.
Perfect. Thank you so much for the introduction. Now, getting kind of into the meat of the conversation, with the MLB season starting, what are some of the most common orthopedic injuries you see in baseball players today?
So, in general, with all sports, the most common injuries are the so-called sprains and strains. So, a sprain is a word we use to indicate an injury to a ligament, and a strain is an injury to a muscle or a tendon. So, any type of sports that involve sprinting, like baseball, running up the first base line or around the bases, you're always prone to straining your hamstring muscle and tendons because of the way you rotate. When you swing a bat, you can injure your adductor or groin tendons, as well as the oblique muscles, which attach your ribs to your pelvis and help us rotate our trunk, which you use a lot when you swing a bat. So those are probably the most common type of injuries that we see. Now, specific to baseball, because of the foul balls, we see some injuries a lot to the feet. So fractures to the metatarsals, or the something called the navicular, which is a smaller bone in the midfoot area, as a foul ball off their foot. We see those type of injuries. Getting hit with a pitched ball going at over 100 miles an hour, we can see fractures of the hand as well as the forearm. One specific fracture that you see in baseball players as well as golfers is a fracture of the hamate, which is a small bone in the wrist. It has a little hook to it. And we see it a lot when a batter does a check swing. They can fracture that bone. And that's something that we see a lot of in baseball players. It all depends on position also. Pitchers have their own most common injuries, namely to the shoulder and the elbow. So in the shoulder, we see some rotator cuff type of overuse injuries. And then a lot of pitchers have a little bit of laxity in their shoulder. And that's what makes them so special, because they can rotate so much and that generates their velocity as well as what you get from using your lower legs. But as the seasons go on and you start to fatigue a bit, you put more stress on the inside part of your elbow. And so you see injuries to the medial collateral ligament, or what people know as the Tommy John ligament. And eventually that can fail and rupture, requiring surgery. So I would say the most common injuries, again, in baseball players are the strains and sprains that we see, but specifically, it's some fractures to the foot and hand, as well as rotator cuff and elbow injuries.
Got it. And from your experience with professional athletes for teams like Gotham Football Club and the Philadelphia Eagles, can you share any specific tips or preventative measures athletes can take to avoid these injuries?
Some injuries are avoidable, some aren't. I mean, the contact type injuries, you're not going to be able to prevent no matter what you do. But the things that we can help are definitely those strains, the muscle strains and the tendon strains. Those can be prevented by keeping up with a unbelievable stretching program. And I say that because everyone thinks they stretch enough, but they probably don't. Stretching has been shown to help decrease the incidence of muscle injuries. And the other thing a lot of people don't pay attention to, which can help decrease muscle injuries, is your hydration status. And I'll never forget that we had a football player, wide receiver, who always was plagued with strains, hamstring strains, groin strains in college, where he played football at the University of Michigan, and even when he got to the Philadelphia Eagles. And he said to me, all that stopped once I really paid attention to my hydration. When I really drank enough, because I always thought I did, but I didn't. When I drank enough, that's when all these type of strains stopped occurring. And I don't think a lot of people put too much emphasis on hydration as a way to prevent injuries, but it is definitely one of the ways. Another injury that can be prevented, and that's become a bit of an epidemic, particularly with females, is the ACL tears. Now, there's the most common way to tear an ACL is usually a non-contact injury. So your foot's planted and you will quickly change direction and you can tear your ACL. The other less common way is from contact, getting hit, particularly on the outside part of your knee. Now, again, we can't prevent that type of ACL tear. But the non-contact ACL tears can be prevented with an exercise program, working on improving strength and balance and something called neuromuscular control. There's been so many studies out there, sophisticated studies using electrodes and things like that, that have shown to decrease the rate significantly of ACL tears in athletes. So I always tell athletes, work on your flexibility in the off season, work on your strength, and then during the season, work on your endurance, because that's what will help. Because most injuries occur when you're fatigued, and if you can work on building up the endurance in the muscle so you don't get that fatigue ability, then you'll cut down on a lot of your injuries.
Got it. Thank you so much for walking us through all that. And beyond prevention, how has the recovery process from sports-related injuries evolved over the years?
I think that's probably multifactorial because we know so much more about injuries. We can slow down all this film and see the exact mechanism of injury. And, obviously with MRIs, we know what structures are injured, so we can focus our rehab and surgical techniques towards that. I think the biggest advancement has been with some of the modalities that we use to treat athletes now, things like microcurrent and shockwave therapy. Those have made great advancements in improving the rehabilitation and getting athletes back a lot faster. But probably the biggest advancement is the so-called orthobiologics. And you've probably heard about athletes getting PRP or their own blood therapy. That's one of the orthobiologics that have helped a lot in improving the rehabilitation and recovery from injuries. Stem cells, amniotic fluid, all of these have been shown to help with certain injuries, not all, but certain injuries, and they're safe. In the past, you've probably seen movies where athletes were getting injected with cortisone, and cortisone is still used, but it's not. There are some downsides to cortisone that everyone's aware of, and even athletes. And so they don't really want to get too many cortisone injections. But with PRP, there's really no downside to it. I mean, it's your own blood, which has growth factors in it and anti-inflammatory factors that help heal things. And so athletes are more willing to do that type of therapy as opposed to cortisone. And it has helped speed up the healing process with ligament injuries, such as MCL injuries of the knee, tendinopathies like patella tendonitis, tennis elbow or golfer's elbow. Even Achilles tendon issues have been helped with mostly amniotic fluid as opposed to PRP. Stem cells is kind of the next step up. That and something called bone marrow concentrate, they're a little more invasive. There you have to get cells from either the bone marrow, which is, as you can imagine, a painful procedure, or you can get them from fat cells to do stem cells. So they're almost like a mini surgical procedure. And they can offer maybe a little more healing than PRP, except we haven't worked out all the kinks with those. Shows a lot of promise because stem cells are the basic cells that when we were born, and those cells then transform into other types of cells like bone cells, ligament cells, tendon cells. And the idea is great. If you inject those into the damaged cell or a damaged tendon, it will have the ability to heal. But what we don't know right now is how to trigger those cells to turn into a tendon cell when it's needed and not something else like a bone cell. So it's shown a lot of promise, all of these orthobiologics, and has helped a lot of athletes come back a lot quicker now than they did in the past.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Given the demanding nature of baseball and other professional sports, how do professional athletes manage the balance between playing through pain and allowing their bodies to properly recover in time?
The biggest advancement with that is probably the so-called sports science that has become popular in major colleges as well as the professional levels. And what these sports scientists do is through some probes on the body it's just a GPS system that they put on their shoulder pads in football, or they wrap it around their chest, and it monitors certain parameters that tell if a player is getting to the point of overexertion. And so we've gotten to the point now where we can monitor an athlete and say, you know what, they're reaching their ultimate load and we need to back off now, they need a day off. And that has helped a lot with decreasing injury, as well as, you know, players know now when they are fatigued and they have to ask. You know, the problem with athletes is they're so competitive. They want to play. Players want to play. And they see as a sign of weakness, mostly with the older athletes, that if they say, oh, I need a day off. But nowadays, more and more athletes realize that they do need a day off. And I just remember a conversation with a recently retired football player who was really resistant to taking a day off during the week of practice. And he said to me, you know, I finally gave in and I took off like on a Tuesday and Wednesday. He said, my body felt so refreshed by Thursday and Friday that I was ready for a game. And I didn't realize until looking back how tired my body was when I would play in a game on Sunday and practice all week long. The other thing players know the difference is between pain and an injury. Obviously, when they have an injury, we all have to step back and evaluate the injury, see if it is something that they can play with, or are they going to hurt themselves in playing with it? Can they function and actually perform at the same level with that type of injury? And most athletes now will kind of sit back and participate in a rehab program that we just outlined with different modalities and maybe PRP injections until they're healed. If they have pain, a lot of them will try to work through that. And that's where you have to have a communications system with the player, the athletic trainer, and the coaches. Because some athletes think they're performing well while they're playing with pain when they're not really. And that's where you need the input from the coach to say, hey, something's wrong with Johnny. He's not running as well. You guys should check this out and talk to him about it. And a lot of times, if you sit down with the player, you can come up with a plan, whether it's to reduce their practice schedule or maybe sit out a game to let their bodies recover. But recovery and load management have become very hot topics in sports. And I think that has helped a bit and maybe even prolonged some careers. I think the data is still relatively young and we can't analyze it to see if it has an impact on prolonging an athlete's career. But I think common sense will tell you that it probably will.
Perfect. Well, Dr. DeLuca, I want to thank you for sharing your insights with all of us today and for joining me on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. An absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me.